Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. I hope everyone is doing great. Welcome, Paulo. We have Paulo D'Oro back with us today. How are you doing, Paulo?
Aloha, Mish.
Aloha.
Thank you for inviting me back.
Yes.
Hi,
and
everyone.
Fancy intro. Hello. Yes, that was Julia Decker and her husband, Stephen, did that. Long-time Awakenings listener, amazing actress, and does voiceover work. And we've got a couple versions of that coming. And that was inspired also by some comments on iTunes. So we do listen. We just had to get it right. Some people had offered to do an intro and outro and timing. But I'm glad you guys like it. Got some nice feedback in the chat around it. And so really want to thank Julia and Stephen for that as well. And also, I want to let everyone know that Awakenings is expanding and more details to follow. But what would really help support the expansion is your life-enhancing feedback on iTunes. Also on the Awakenings radio page, that would really, really be great if you can, especially those of you, I get a lot of personal emails of how much you love the program, and I had a wonderful listener that I talked to the other day that said, she said, I wish Awakenings was on every day, I would listen to it, and thank you so much for that. You know who you are that said that. Christina, really, really appreciate that wonderful feedback. But it really will help the support. It really helps anchor the energy. It helps other people find Awakenings. And it will help with the expansion to have the support on the Awakenings radio page on Facebook. So you can like the page, leave your comments there, and then also on iTunes. And also, if you have any suggestions, you know, ways to enliven and improve things that are life-enhancing for the program, we really do listen. You can email awakenings@selfinlight.com, and it'll get to me. And definitely open for suggestions because, you know, we're all co-creating this program together. It's a wonderful community, international, multidimensional community. So I appreciate everyone, you know, partaking. So I want to let you know we are doing readings, and again, that number, as it was said in the beginning of the intro, is 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad. Also want to let you know there's an amazing event that is happening. I believe it may be simulcast at some point, or there may be videos, but it is in the greater LA area, and it's an event with Elevate, who does some wonderful, you know, awakening, enlivening, conscious raising, and I like to say heart connecting films. So it's this Saturday night, February 11th, at Agape International Spiritual Center, is hosting a pre-Valentine Day event. Really, as everyone is saying, guaranteed to move you from your head to your heart. The evening will begin with Play It Forward, digital launch of the documentary May I Be Frank, which is a hilarious and inspirational film about a morbidly obese, drug-addicted, and diseased Sicilian from Brooklyn whose entire life changes after he stumbles into San Francisco's organic and vegan cafe, Gratitude. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. It's great. Give a shout-out for Gratitude, the vegan cafe. Oh, it's amazing. Place, just wonderful food and great place to hang out. Following the film, the Love Fest will keep flowing with a performance by top 10 Billboard artist Jason Mraz and a panel discussion hosted by Michael Bernard Beckwith. The panelists include Mostyn Kipp, Mickey Willis, Ryland Engelhard, Sean Stephenson, the 3-foot giant, and the film's own Frank Ferrante. The event begins at 7 p.m., and that's this February 11th, Saturday, February 11th at 7 p.m. Some details. To get your tickets, you can go to agapelive.com and click on special events. And again, that's this Saturday, February 11th. And it's part of the Play It Forward. I don't know if some of you know about this. The Play It Forward is the Mickey Willis, who co-founded Elevate. It's part of his kind of umbrella of service. And they do a lot of video, DVD launches, a lot of documentary films. And this particular launch is of the documentary May I Be Frank. Love that. Sounds good, huh, Paulo? Sounds kind of tasty.
Good. And Cafe Gratitude is a real trip. I went to it when it first opened, and I have to say my jaw really was worked. I felt like I had eaten a lot of grass. It was really a chewing experience.
I love it.
It was Julia Butterfly's birthday. She had just come down from the tree, a Luna.
Oh,
and she had
yeah.
a birthday there. Gratitude gave her a free night of birthday. So it was a real, like, seven-course chewing thing. It was a real experience.
I love it. Yeah, it is. It's some little delectable desserts as well, kind of some healthy desserts. I remember they had these amazing little kind of date something little balls that I kind of fell in love with coconut. Mm-hmm. Little kind of...
And they have the no chocolate cake and no sugar.
Yeah, the no sugar but the chocolate. Really, they have great chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, here we go. Cafe Gratitude, we love you. look on my, those of you that are friends with me or on my Facebook page, Om Michelle Mache. I posted a pic of sun bars. They're just amazing, these organic nut and seed bars with also raisins. So, Speaking of food. Great, so we've got more people coming in. If you did want a reading or to chat or connect, the number is 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, and we will be getting to you. We just want to welcome all the guests that are listening, also in the sacred space of empowerment, and, of course, our wonderful regulars. Hello, it's great. Welcome to the new ones, and welcome to all of you. For some reason, I'm not able to type right now in the chat, so you'll just see maybe a lot of little hearts. Maybe I'm not to do that today. I don't know what's going on with that, but I can't quite get in. And please, if you get bounced out of the chat, I've had people saying, oh, I've gotten bounced out, just either, you know, obviously log back in, but sometimes also refreshing the page will also help with that. So I want to dive in a little bit, Paulo. I've had some questions, email questions, and some recent, because I've been doing these Soul Path Life Expression readings, which are I would say more expanded version of astrology, where I'm doing a natal chart, but I'm also doing what we call a soul path layout, looking at the soul purpose and what's life enhancing, what does the being come in with, what's challenging, or where the awareness is and how to support that. So I've had a lot of people lately asking about the retrogrades that are coming up, which were Mars retrograde, and we've got Venus, of course, coming up, and then Mercury. But I really want to, we can touch on all of it, but I really want to focus on Mars right now, because a lot of people are feeling a bit thwarted or held back And, of course, you can look at where Virgo is in your chart, and that will, you know, give some more information. But it also, you know, before, what is a trans-channel you tap into is the undifferentiated energy pattern, before we even call it a kind of a name. And so this time period has been, at least the last year, has really been a time of reevaluating, refocusing. And I really find the energies, you know, October, I don't know if a lot of you felt there really was this shift. You know, some people said it felt like just turning a corner or one door shut. We really got into the new energies of the new emerging consciousness. We really turned a corner. We did, that shift did already occur. So we are in the new energy pattern, and of course all acclimating to that, but it's really, before we were a little bit in the old, a little bit in the new, this is really, there's some little smidgy little vestiges of the old pattern, but basically we're really in the new, the energies of the new emerging consciousness. And in saying that, we're really, even though there's a lot of new beginnings and a lot of openings, we still really are in this clearing, cleansing, completing phase to bring in what is more aligned to the truth of who you are, aligned to the soul. So if you're feeling thwarted or held back, some people, I've been getting emails that they've been feeling very depressed, that they feel that they just can't either get ahead or they don't know what to do. This is where your spiritual tools really come in, your spiritual practice, your sangha or satsang or community, connecting in with like-minded individuals, getting that support, getting that understanding, because what is happening is deep changes, deep adjustments that we can't necessarily know in the beta consciousness and the everyday consciousness reality. It doesn't make sense. It looks like you're not moving forward. Nothing's happening. It looks like, you know, for a lot of people, old ills are coming up, health issues. But what I want you to know, you know, everything you go through has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Okay, and then there's then that end is a rebirth to a new focus, a new awareness, or a new way of expressing. Really, in some level, if it's a major change, a new entity, if you will, a new being, new beingness. So look and see what's coming up to fully complete. You know, Paula, you have any thoughts of that?
Yes, I just put in the chat that I've been crying for it just impulsively comes out. There's really no reasoning behind it. I'm just feeling the energies behind it, because it's a lot of sadness and remorse about leaving, you know, the old. Because what we have to do is say goodbye to the old ways we've done things. So there's that regret, there's that remorse, there's that sigh. And it's important that I don't add energy to it. I just let it come through me, because I don't want to connect more with the reasoning behind it, if it's the past or if it's the future. It doesn't matter to me. I want to allow that, just the cleansing, to happen as a strict kind of a medicinal cry.
Beautiful, beautiful. And, you know, that brings up a really good point. You know, we are here to fully express and feel. This is the emotional plane, you know, the energy in motion. Though the way we do that perhaps is getting lightened up a bit or clarified, or, you know, it's just adjusting. But any way you can move the energy of the cross, releasing, if you can look at yourself more as an energetic being, everyone, and feel that energy and allow yourself to be where you are and to feel what you're feeling. And I know I've gotten feedback from some people I've been working with where it's almost like cry, laugh, they're so happy, they feel such joy, expansion, but yet they feel a contraction, you know, something's being pinched to let go of and something's opening. You know, and the on the ego level, it's space. When you think of something new coming in, there's usually some form of loss. Something is letting go or leaving. Even if, even if you've had a lot of things happening or a lot of things coming into your life, sometimes people are in that kind of phase where it seems overwhelming, where there's just so much, nothing's leaving, and they don't know which direction to go. That's like, I'm still doing this, or this is happening, it's all happening at once. At some point, something will begin to either drop away or morph, and that allows you that, you know, that's, Paula lost you online. So that space is sometimes what the ego can't handle. The constructed ego isn't used to the space. Especially when you have a lot of fear or worry, you tend to contract. Your aura comes in. That's why one thing that you really want to do, if you are feeling fearful, I love doing balancing asanas, you know, balancing postures in yoga. But what you can do is breathe, really take a deep breath in as you breathe out, visualize and really feel yourself stretching, feel your aura expanding, allow the expansion. The thing that you want to do most is have the expansion. You don't, you want to allow that, you don't want to have the contraction. It is natural to contract, expand, contract. But if you're feeling like things are kind of coming in on you, the thing to do is get the expansion. Go in, you know, out in nature. Go where there's more space, or just feel more space. Allow yourself to feel the space. Allow yourself to extend or expand. Let's see, lots of lower back pain. We've in the chat, been feeling this too, especially when I listen to music. Yeah, so there's a lot of triggering right now. There is a lot up. You know, in order to ascend, to move out of that, the dualistic thinking, we kind of bounce between the two, the polarities of whatever we're experiencing to get into that center point. The center point is the ascension point. It's the rising above duality, or expanding beyond duality. It's taking in, you know, those two sides, all sides, and resting in the center. So find, especially for those of you who've got the back pains, where you can find support. Do you need to support yourself more? Do you need support from other people? Are you allowing enough time for yourself, basically? But really expanding the aura, expanding the consciousness, that's really what needs to happen. Resting in the center, allowing that resting. So if you, again, there will be right now, you know, especially I would say this whole year, but really between end of January it started, and I believe the retrograde started a week or so ago, really getting into that until about May, June, you're going to find that you're in a lot of reflecting. And really see, look and see what fits in with most of what I want to do, or where I'm going, or what my focus is. Try not to jump in something or jump out of something. I've been saying this kind of over and over and over, but that is going to get you in more of a pickle, because you're still forming. You know, the new way of relating and being is still forming, and there still is more consciousness expansion that's taking place to allow you to more fully express. So at this juncture, you may not know exactly what it is that you want, or what you need, or what needs to be shifted or adjusted. For some people, it's where can I be of service? You know, well, follow where you're being prompted, or look what's in front of you. What are your interests? And the other thing I wanted to touch on, too, is the bridging, that you don't have to jump. Allow yourself to bridge. You know, allow yourself to make your changes step by step. If something needs to happen more quickly or slowly, it will. You know, but you follow the steps, create the steps, you know, be aware of trying to make sweeping change. This isn't about sweeping change. It's not about destabilizing. And for those of you that seems to be the case of the destabilizing by external events and situations, see where you can find that inner stability. Again, your spiritual practice. I'm really suggesting to a lot of people the Daily Om course, the 2012 Navigate Your Greatest Soul Shift. There's so many tools in there and so much support that it's really helps you align to these new energies. Let's see. Paulo, I'm finding being with people requiring more energy is not easy. Oh, yes, that is a biggie. I just worked with someone last week that was sharing that as well and saying that certain people, they just hadn't even returned their phone calls or emails. If you may be needing that energy to focus on something specific either to yourself or something that you're focused on right now in your life, you'll know by where you naturally want to be, where your energy naturally wants to be. So in a way, what you know, on a societal level, this is also about moving beyond the shoulds and making those shoulds a could. I could do this, I could do that, but what does the higher self really want of me? What is this situation really calling for me? You know, if you don't have that extra bit of energy, you know, you need to bring it to yourself. You need to bring it to what is in your realm, because that other person or other people will also have support. You have to trust that their higher self will guide them to other people, that it doesn't always have to be from you.
That's very good.
Paulo,
I'm feeling it's very, very interesting how we are managing energy, how we are becoming energy, more energetic, more magnetic, more electromagnetic, in line with the Earth. But it's now being on our plate. How do we manage our energy? I think, in a way, that's a new way of thinking about our grid, our dimensions, our multiple dimensions. How do we manage the energy? Where do we seem to pull into to give our own selves our energy, our soul's energy, aligning with ourselves? And when do we give energy? It used to be, for me, not a head thing, not a thought, not a thinking thing. But now it's kind of like, oh, I've got to kind of manage that, just like a diet. I've got to kind of manage.
Yes.
Because now I'm really understanding that my energy is a certain amount. If it is aligned on a dimension, it can reach forever. And if I'm not at that level, I certainly don't want to go into a public place where I'm pulling in my soul energy, my inner energy. And it seems like at these alignments, I have to make choices. I don't know if that's making any sense to anybody.
But you said it. See, it used to be that we, you know, and I'm not talking as individuals, but I'm talking on the collective level and what got perhaps taught to people as on an individual level, that other things will manage your energy. Time, age, society, your job manage your time because you work 9 to 5 and you have to take a lunch and 2 breaks, school. But that's going to be changing. It already is in a way. But, you know, if you're working for yourself, you can work 24 hours a day if you want to. You know, you can do a project for 14 hours. Eventually, this change will be in more of our systems, too, our school as well. You know, people that are working by satellite, people that have, you know, multidimensional experiences more and are living from that place more, with not just themselves, but even with other people, attracting other people that are living this way. Balancing more, you know, home, family, career, projects, being of service, philanthropic things, travel. There's so much more that really, in a way, the new emerging consciousness requires responsibility, right? The ability to respond. That you don't, the old paradigm said, just the more you go and you just kind of break your back, so to speak, you'll make it. But the new emerging consciousness is working more energetically, right? It's working with the subtle energy, so you have to learn how to manage your own energy. What is your innate energy pattern? Not everybody's is the same. So we really have to know ourselves, I think, Paulo, on a deeper, you know, in a way, a deeper level, a more true level, that you know, we're not looking
more
around
authentic.
At someone
we have
else.
To be more authentic.
Yeah,
authentic, I like
yeah,
that.
I like that. Yeah, more authentic.
Because the authenticity will give us the key of how we can be with this relationship of our energy. Because mm-hmm. I definitely don't see myself as managing it at all times. But certainly I've been managing more than I have in the past.
Yeah.
And according to the way the earth is and the gates of light, you know, I turn around, it's morning, I turn around, it's afternoon, I turn around, it's over. It's spinning.
Yeah.
It's spinning at such a high level. And I feel like, oh, I wake up and I'm sleeping and it's tomorrow. I mean, there's a quickening along with all of this. And I really, you know, you've got to realize there's many, many people relating to the computer. And this computerized energy that's come into our life is in us. It's becoming part of us. We are connecting to that kind of grid. It's like one of my friends, she inherited a emerald ring from her great-grandmother. And when I met her after years of not seeing her, I could see the green energy from wearing this ring had already gone all the way up to her heart, all the way up her arm, over her chest to her heart. And it's the same thing with interrelationships of the computer. We're now becoming part of the computer. If you see children, it's an extension of their hands, you know. It's an extension of who they are. They get with these electronic, and they become one with them. It's a beautiful, beautiful understanding of how this energy is intermingling, these new weddings we are.
Yeah, I agree. And to me, it's just showing showing the interconnectedness that is already there. You know, I've been playing Words with Friends with my brother, and we've been having fun with this. And it's just so interesting because it's all consciousness. So where you are, there you are. So as we're playing, you know, and he's, I don't know how many miles, 50 miles or something from me, I can feel him. There's this interconnectedness that's always there. So my sense is really these devices and the computer is just an outpicturing of our interconnectedness, the truth of who we are.
Right?
It's a wonderful game and dance with that to be able to have that. Next will be everybody
it's a myriad, really amazing to see what's in the minds of all these people we share on this planet. And there isn't one place that we don't have access to now. It's an amazing trip. And being on an island like this, I feel like I'm in the hub, and I can reach out to the whole universe. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we're all in our own hub. That's the thing. That we're in the hub, but we're a little hub connected to larger hubs. But you know, again, it's getting it in more in the mainstream consciousness that this is the truth of our, you know, interconnectedness, that there is no separation, you know. And those are, I would say, kind of that are maybe listening that have had some kind of loss or separation. And of course, we want to grieve that on a mental, emotional, and a physical level, but bounce into, nudge into the transpersonal as well, the part of you that's always connected, that the part on the less dense spiritual plane, that subtle energy, where you know in that field, that resonant field, that we are always there, we are always connected. There is a connection no matter what happens. You know, and as there's more of the ascension, people will be connecting with each other more on other dimensional realms and planes, not just us, the mystics, the psychics, the channelers, the mediums. It will be more and more just an everyday occurrence. And I feel these devices, in a way, it's that outpicturing or mirroring that's helping to anchor that energy into our you know, society, you know. Let's get to a question. We've got 212-579. Welcome to Awakenings. 212-579. Welcome to the program. They had a question. You're on air. 212-579. Okay. Well, maybe you're just listening. I'll try you back. I had that. They had a little. Maybe they stepped away from the phone. They had pressed one on the keypad. Yeah, if you press one on the keypad, I think that you want to get on air. Then Chris in the chat is putting, sometimes you can experience that connectedness to very odd synchronicities that end up happening with technology, gives you the goosebumps. Oh, so true, Chris, so true. And that brings up a good point, because as we're moving out of the focus on linear time and the belief of only linear time, we move into what we call synchronistic timing, where events are now happening through synchronicities, whether with ourselves or others, or interconnection of those synchronicities, which has actually been the predominant way, people would say maybe big picture. You know, but eventually it will be looking for and feeling those synchronicities, feeling the nudge or the direction of those synchronicities. And, of course, you know, the devices, you know, I go back to how electrical those devices are with those crystal chips. They're really, they're receivers, as we are, receivers and broadcasters, but there also is that electrical component as well, you know, that little hit or that little buzz that you get from connecting in that way. Internet interconnecting, as Denise is putting, yes, the web. But what has been said, we are the web. We're the web and the weaver, the wolf and the wharf, right? We're interconnected. You've got the internet. But it's also inter. See, that's the other thing we have to... I feel also it's also about inter... You know, entering within, but also going within. That it's not all about the external. It's like where I am as I tune in, or as I enter this vibrational frequency of the all that is, which is oneness. As I enter that, I connect in to myself and to everything and everyone. So it really is this entering in, back into, believe it or not, I would say the grid or the pattern of energy, the matrix, not the constructed or false matrix that's based on externalization of fears, you know, wants, desires, but the web, the woof and the wharf of what connects us all together. It's connecting into that substance. That's amazing. Denise is putting in the chat another great comment. What the scientists are saying, that too much time on computers is making us a lot less creative. This bothers me because I seem to be experiencing this. Yes. Okay, that's the dependence. See, if you're using the computer devices as an auxiliary, it will stretch those creative synapses within the brain. If you're not, because everything is done there for you, everything is visual, you don't have to stretch. You know, you can't think of a word, you type it in. I do agree, too much reliance on that, then you're not using the computer in your brain. You're not using that computer and your mind, which is the infinite computer. It's interesting because there were studies done on this. I don't know if you've heard of this, Paulo, but years ago, with the advent of a lot of television and then the video games, that were showing that it made people very good automatons. It made people good at fixing, repair people, you know, of service. But it did stop their ideas of being able to generate abstract concepts or more high-level cognitive functioning. So, again, I think there's a balance there. If you're over-relying on that, you know, yes, it is.
That's
it
the
is,
key. That's the key, is the balance.
Is that the key? Yeah.
Yeah, because I've experienced children here who are homeschooled without television, and amazing, creative. I watch them. They just create all day. And there are the ones that are totally into their games and their create. You know, so it depends also on the individual child, and what they're going through. But I believe on a whole, that it is about balance. As we balance, we're learning to become this balancing act. The each day, it becomes more evident that we need to learn how to balance. There should be this inner juggling course, just like your course on OM, this inner juggling course where you learn how to balance your energies, because this is what it's becoming.
Well, now, Paulo, that I go into that in my course. There's a whole chapter on that. What are these energies and how to... If someone puts the... that's one of the... I'm telling you, there's nine lessons, you know, in the, my Daily OM 2012 Navigate the Shift.
I can't even tell it two of them. I can't even nine? Okay.
But no, there's... no, it's one of the chapters. But I really go into this a lot because, oh, my God, I'm going to get so impassioned on this. I'm going to scream right now.
Oh, go, honey, go.
No, because that's what people are missing, the energy in motion. So much of this shift, it's not, how do I want to say, cognitive. It's not thinking. That'll come kind of later, the analyzing and whatever. It's really you've got to learn and know what is the subtle energy. How do I connect into the subtle energy? How do I feel where the subtle energy is directing me? The shift is about the truth of who we are as energetic beings. You said it earlier, using our energy in motion, the emotions, clarifying those, you know, so that you're managing your energy, you're using your energy. It's a whole new way of being. We've been so, think of Socrates. We've been so focused on thought. Even that thought, I saw something the other day that thought creates manifestation or physical form. And it does, but there's something before thought. That's where we're going. We're going before thought. That's why vibration is so important right now. That's why sound, tone. And that's, this course is all about that. I'm trying to get people... to, you know, the vision, all of that's great, but there's something before thought. That's where we're playing now. That's vibrational beings, the electromagnetic beings, but we've got to learn, it's a whole new way of tapping in, it's a whole new way of expressing and being. And frankly, there's just not a lot of stuff yet out there about
so
that yet.
You're giving it a face, so that people
yes.
can start to recognize it. Because if
yes.
they don't, if you don't recognize
yes.
it, how can you work with it? You see?
Exactly.
So you're giving them that place to say, oh, this is something I feel like. Oh, this is because you've identified it. And you have to do that. You have to give them this plane of a naga in Hindu, a plane
yeah.
of existence. And that's what you're doing.
Yes, it's been very, very hidden, you know. You know, a lot of people even misinterpret it. They'll say, well, feeling, like, oh, you have to feel good to manifest what you want. That's all, I want to just say categorically, it's such BS, because what we manifest is so far beyond our little mind, our ego, our little constructed ego. I mean, you might hit or miss on stuff, you know, here and there, manifesting stuff, because you can create it on all levels. You can create on the ego level as well. But there really is a template. You know, there really is, you know, I keep going back to, it's like snowflakes. We all are different. Every snowflake has a different design. And that's where we're going into, playing and expressing and experiencing from that. But you've got to bridge from that focus of the mind, the thinking, the visualizing, really control. It's releasing that control to see, you know, in a way too, it taps us in more into being empaths. That's, you know, our crystalline nature is very empathetic. It's like a Geiger counter or sonar or, you know, GPS. It's getting those coordinates, and it's all mathematical, you know, and beyond the mathematics, it's all feeling tone. It's all energetic. It's all through the subtle energy. And that's how you'll know if something rings true. We all have that a little bit. We feel something off, or we feel we should go in a certain direction, or do a certain movement or reach out or go within. But it's really refining that so that you are this instrument beyond the mental plane. Then it'll come back into the mental plane, and we'll have the beliefs, the mental constructs that anchor this. You know, we'll have the affirmation. We'll have all of that. But people have to first learn to get away from that and go into that diaphanous, amorphous, you know, that fuzzy world of spirit, the Neptunian.
You know, I feel when you have the ability to have choices in a situation, then you are in your mind and not in the subtle energy.
Yes, yes.
When choices come into the picture, realize you have just left the subtle energy, because your mind is bringing you into a place of now manipulation, yeah, in a sense. You now have to make a choice. And if you are doing and dealing in that energy, you are not understanding the subtle crystalline energy that we are expressing here. I just know that as a key. It's like if energy is coming, say it's coming from outside, if we just imagine that, then mm-hmm. the first amazing thing, it'll hit our aura in some way. It'll begin to penetrate us. As anything, it will start to penetrate and come into our being, into our energy field. And it usually does come in a way that is all-encompassing for me. It just comes in through every pore, through every being, through every part of me. And when I think about that, then it starts to come in, and I think about it, I'm no longer connected to it, because I'm
exactly.
now thinking about it.
Because that's where the dual, yeah, if I'm the observer, that's why a lot of people, you know, observer meditations, witness meditations are very powerful. Got my book on meditation for everyday living, taught meditation for over 30 years. It's so important. However, at some point, it's just a tool. It's a practice. You need to move beyond the observer, the witness, because there is the separate, if I'm witnessing something, that I'm separate to it. So it's a tool, but as we move into, as we ascend or move into the center of the polarity plane, move into the non-duality, we are that. And you're living it, basically. It's only until you pull yourself out to chat about it, talk about it, explain it, or analyze it, which is all part of this plane as well, and it's great. But we don't want to stay stuck living there. You know, that's the key. You know, we don't want to. We've tended to park ourselves, you know, into the place of observing and looking, and not as much being. And this new emerging consciousness is really about connecting into the beingness, and even talking about it, which we need to. And I enjoy it. Pulls us out of it.
But that's our realm. You know, we play where we're used to playing. If you go to the park and ride a certain ride, 9 out of 10 times you're going to go to that park and ride the same ride. But maybe this time, instead of you going to the park and riding that ride, you go to the park and you try another ride. So it's just about what you're familiar with. And in these subtle energies, we're not so familiar with it because it is subtle. It is what we are. And yet, deep in our soul has that information about the subtlety. Otherwise, we wouldn't even recognize them at all. We wouldn't know how to deal with it at all. But our soul says, it's like a breath of fresh air for the soul. Oh, something familiar here, you see. Because in that design, in that infinite love design is the information. And so we have to just keep our hearts open and our love open to receive it. And know that it's all going to everyone.
You know, and with Light Mermaid put in the chat, so it's about letting go of duality. I wouldn't say it's about letting go of duality, because that is an expression, that's an experience. It's more about recognizing when there is a duality, or one is responding or reacting in that way, and not believing that it's all that is, not living from that space. What's happened, what got, you know, socialized and institutionalized, is that became the truth. And that became the place where people were living from. You know, eventually we won't have such extremes, you know, in the polarity expression, if you will, of consciousness. You know, as the Buddhists say, that middle way. You know, there's some kernels of truth and kernels that I feel are the cornerstones of the new emerging consciousness in many forms of philosophical thought, many, you know, in some religious, some more that I would say ancient, ancestral, indigenous. I'm thinking also the Maoris, you know, there's no difference between awake or asleep. So it's where is your consciousness tapping in? What vibrational intersection is it tapping in? That's where you're at. Right now we're at a certain vibrational frequency having a certain experience, but we're also having other experiences in other outlets, if you will, other outlets of consciousness. So
right.
I feel like
and though this information resides in all belief systems, it's in every system. That, as you said, we have been concentrating on different levels in different ways. Because of the energy shifts, we now are, able to encompass this energy so that we can interpret it, basically.
Yeah.
Because basically we're filters. We're here to experience. And so we need to know how this energy is here. There's this new feeling here. There's this synchronicity happening and all that. But it still has to be even lived through the body.
Yes.
That's basically...
Yeah. That's what we're here, why we have a body.
Right.
We're living, we're channeling, downloading, expressing. We are that, you know, in this kind of form or realm. And part of that, I just really is not rejecting that, but how can you anchor that and live that, be that? And it does move us more into expression and experience, which is the realm of the soul, experiential, experiencing, expressing, less thinking, you know, more being and doing it. It's wonderful. We have with us two today, I believe they're online, which I've mentioned at the top of the program. We have with us today Zaya and Maurizio Benazio are our guests that will be coming on. They are the conference founders and organizers of Science and Non-Duality conferences that take place. In fact, they have one coming up which will be focused on the nature of the self. They have conferences both in Europe and the United States. They also are connected with Neti Neti Media, which is a conscious conglomerate of filmmakers, scientists, philosophers, and explorers committed to expanding the potential of humanity. Their mission is to create media and public gatherings to inspire, connect, and facilitate the emergence of a new spiritual paradigm, which is based on the timeless wisdom traditions of the world, informed by science and grounded in direct experience. In many ways, you can say Zaya and Maurizio's focus is to heal the schism between science and spirituality. Welcome to Awakenings.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah. Wonderful to have you both. Hi, Zaya.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yep.
Yeah. Wonderful, especially with our... I love always the program somehow morphs and dovetails into what the guests are also sharing as well. So it's a great synchronicity there.
Yeah, you gave us such a beautiful presentation. I don't think we can add... anything to that.
Oh, yes, you can't. I have lots of questions.
questions.
First of all, I want to touch on for the listeners, because you've got, I believe, coming up rather soon, maybe in May, you both have the conference or the Convergence of Science and Spirituality is taking place in Europe, in the Netherlands, and then also in the States, I believe, in San Rafael, right?
In San Rafael will be in October, in the Netherlands. Yes. We have two events a year, and the first one temporarily now will be the first one in Holland, in the Netherlands, at the end of May, and then we repeat the event, not repeat the event, there is another event under the similar structure, if you wish, the similar theme in San Rafael at the end of October. And the one in October in San Rafael will be the fourth years in a row we are doing this. And the event is growing, and it's fantastic. It's an amazing experience. It's very beautiful to see the community gathering together. Mm. It's really fun.
Yeah, and it's not just a conference. We use the word conference because just it's an easy word, but it's more of a festival. We have a lot of music, a lot of experiential. Sorry.
You're good. I'm just listening. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have a lot of experiential presentations like meditation, qigong, dance, drawing. So there are lectures, but there is a lot of space for direct experience and really embodying the knowledge we are getting from the lectures.
Yeah, which at the end of the day is the most important thing you were mentioning before.
Yeah.
Yes, we can be as mystical as you want, but so what? You know, I also have to be alive in my day-to-day. I have to take the kids to school. I have to feed my family. How does it work? So, and also another important aspect is the aspect, the ecology of the planet. We are hurting this planet. The planet is suffering. We have to be realistic and aware of our role as human, as this organism, as called this human body, our role as human in the big scheme. And that brings the point, you know, of our relationship, of what it means to be spiritual, what it means to be part of consciousness, what is duality, non-duality. All those questions, we have to make sure they don't become a cop-out to take us out from our responsibility with our families and with our community and with this planet we are inhabiting, which is kind of, you know, in trouble at this point.
Yes. Maurizio, I love what you're saying about the direct experience. That, I feel, is something that has for so long been missing. And then perhaps, I make a little supposition here, a thought, you know, because with the direct experience, you know, you wouldn't be able to litter. You, there are certain things I just feel you wouldn't be able to do to each other and also to Earth when you're having the direct experience of the all that is or God, when it is in your everyday life. Don't you think that informs your decisions differently?
Yes. One way we see about non-duality, at this parallel, we see if your knee is hurting, then immediately we put a second caress and probably. If we call ourselves, that if we assume that we are all connected, we are all one web of relationship in the universe, and we see the ocean being hurt, wouldn't automatically our hand go protected? So once we say that we are part of a larger organism, but really not just saying it as well, as our organism in its own boundaries. So, I don't know, does it make sense?
Yeah, so you're saying it's not just saying, it's really living it, being it.
Yes.
In another aspect of direct experience, Odom Asian traditions, they do have aspects in them which brings the embodiment, either meditation or through dance. What we are doing at the conference is really bringing a slightly different angle of direct experience. It's not about sitting every day for hours to get into a certain state, but what we're inviting the attendees at the conference is really to become present to what is for you individually in that specific moment, which is different from moment to moment. It's not about the reaching a state that
just
someone
something
has told
yeah
you that you should yeah reach, but it's really about tuning in very subtly into your own being.
So in a way, you don't. There is no such a thing as enlightenment for half an hour a day. That state is part of you in anything you do,
in every moment
yeah of your life.
And it's just yeah bringing awareness to that.
Because there is always this tendency to do that. You say, oh, I'm spiritual now, but out of the, if you know, I finish my meditation, I'm a total jerk,
yeah,
you know?
Right, true. You know,
you know,
we have a saying I have a saying on my website I've had for, I don't know, 10, 11 years that you're already enlightened. Now it's about living this, you know. Right? It's more living it, knowing that is you.
We some incredible we, you know, that we it's not realistic. You know, life, everything, there is suffering, there is sorrow, there is bliss, and it's about embracing all of it, because it's not about just choosing what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Choosing what feels good all the time, what mystics have, is what creates actually suffering, because you're stuck here, what you have to feel in this moment, and that takes you away from what is in the moment now.
Yeah, our friend Stephen Wolinsky used to say that the more you look for the bliss, at the end, the more you get into the peace. So, I mean, it's it's a tend to go for the blissful moments. In a way, it's not realistic, it's not the reality. In the moment you want to be in bliss, all of a sudden you are not in what you are as you are now. And what you are as you are now is bliss. Just change your statement.
I love what you're saying. It's so the new consciousness, the new paradigm that, and it's a hard one for people because there's been this entrainment of self-sacrifice, or you have to sit a certain way or look a certain way or eat a certain something or wear a certain something, and then that means you've got it or you're spiritual. And if you're not doing that, then you're somehow, you know, and so all this shadow material is everywhere. Like you said, you know, if you're searching for, going for the bliss, you're in the piss. All this other stuff is happening.
Yeah, in a way, what we try to promote in our conference, in our event, is like a new form of ascetic that is separated. We invite in old tradition, Christianity, Judaism, Sufi, we invite them all in a beautiful conversation with this. At the end of the day, what we are looking is the common ground between them. I don't care if you wear purple, orange, you spin to the left, you to the right, or you say funny word in your language. I don't care about that. What we care is what you really mean. I care how do you relate with your community. How do you love? I care about love. I care about the common ground that all the mystics have, which is the old point, the difference between religious and mysticism. The religious tradition tend to be more politically oriented, if you wish, and more ritualistic, you know, you follow the religion. The spiritual, the monks in every tradition, they all have the same, quote-unquote, level. They're all, like, in the feeling of calmness and embedded in the presence of what is. And what we are interested in are the religious.
Yeah. You know, I think you guys are on Skype, Zaya and Maurizio, sometimes just going in and out. I don't know if you can adjust the sound volume. If it keeps happening, maybe you can call back in really quickly, maybe get a better line.
It's working now. Is it working?
Now it's better. So I don't know if maybe not moving. I'm not sure, but I'm getting some people saying in the chat they can't hear. Are you both on the same line?
Yes, we are.
But we could dial through the cell phone if you prefer. The other thing is that being Italian, I tend to not when I talk, so probably.
No, it's not that. I'm Latin. It's not that. It's the echoes. Do you mind calling back in on the cell phone so we? Because people are saying they really love what you're saying, and they can't hear, though, as well.
Okay.
Too many echoes.
Yes. We'll do it.
Okay, great. Okay. Wonderful. Call right back. Or you can try Skype again and just see if you get a better connection. Sometimes Skype is seamless and wonderful, and then sometimes not. So maybe try that, you know.
Okay, we'll hang up Skype and dial again.
Okay, sounds beautiful. I really love what they're saying. So we'll have them call back in. And again, we're talking with Zaya and Maurizio Benazzo. We're talking about the convergence of science and spirituality. I'm going to call it the direct experience event. This one that's coming up in May is in Holland, and it's on the nature of the self. And then there'll be one also in the States, which will be in October. And for more information or you want to check out their website while you're listening to Awakenings, especially if you're in the chat room, it's scienceandnonduality.com, and you can get some information there. I think we have them back on.
We are back.
Oh, welcome.
Yes. Woo, that's right.
Beautiful. Are you there? Great, great. Okay. I never know. Sometimes Skype is perfect, and then sometimes, you know, it's just up for grabs. How it
yeah.
is. Yeah. Yes. Now, Zaya and Maurizio, and you both can answer this, if you will, because I always love to ask this, because we have so many listeners and such diverse backgrounds that it really, not only from a learning, teaching perspective, but also a perspective, oh, my God, I went through that, or just out of interest and curiosity, people love to know how other people have had their awakening. What brought you to this path right now?
Hmm.
And either of you. Yeah. Well, a lot brought you. But what, yeah, it's a big question. But your first
can I start
awakening.
I start with my start. Well, since I was a child, I was always intrigued and very curious about how does it work, brought up in Italy. And I remember there was something that sounded right to me. I loved them, but there was something inside. And I remember at the age of 11 or 13 to reduce the amount of prayer before going to bed, terrified that this guy is going to send a lightning and incinerate me in the middle of the night if I don't do all my prayer. Until I remember the last night when I didn't even do the sign of the cross, and I put my hand under my butt and I tried to sleep, terrified that I'm going to be dead and not in the morning. I woke up and said, oh my God, I'm free. I don't have to blindly follow this. There was something that didn't work. So I started to follow then all the possible things I could find, from Buddhism to Zen. I tried any book I could put my hands on in those days. Until I went back to Christianity with a stronger strength, and I even tried to become a monk at 24 or something for a week. But they kicked me out because I was too radical for them, apparently. So I went, basically, I did as much as I could. I've always been a seeker. But then in 2001, I went to India and shot this movie called Short Caravana with my friend Nick Day. And this movie had hopefully many of your listeners know about this movie, Shortcuts to Nirvana. And there, after that movie, I heard about this in India, whose book was I Am That. THAT, I Am That.
I have that book by my bedside.
That book, exactly. That book blew. That was the end of it.
Oops, it's doing it again. I'm getting messages in the chat. The it's cutting out. So we're not here. We're hearing every second word. So is that the cell phone?
Let me call the cell phone. I'm dialing as we speak.
Oh, perfect. Okay, keep talking. So.
347-347-539-5122. There we go.
Push
start
now. Perfect. Yeah, then that's so you always have, and I find a lot of people growing up had something. They knew something was a bit different. Here we go. It's a 917 number, right?
Yes. Yes, it's me.
Okay.
Hopefully, I apologize for the. I apologize for Skype.
For Skype. Have them to give us some stock in the company as a.
Yeah, okay. As an exchange. Yeah. Once I met this book, I Am That. Everything, the seeking, sort of rested. I found that the depth of this book, to me, I mean, again, to me, I'm not saying this is like, I don't recommend anything to anybody. I mean, to me, it worked for the way this organism, this human body called Maurizio was brought up, that book made it. And all of a sudden, I found myself in an entirely different space with the sensation of, oh, yeah, I get it.
again, that there is nothing to get. And I'd like to quote for a second one quote from Nisargadatta, which is, to me, again, it basically says something like this. When I look inside, I see I am nothing. When I look outside, I see I am everything. Between those two, my life moves.
Beautiful.
So it's just beautiful. This book has the ability to me to bring me to the silence, to bring me to the peace, to bring me to the space of what is. And then I met Zaya, which is trying now to put her earphone and see. Then I can tell you, then she'll tell you her story, but I tell you our story when we met. We met through this book, and we ended up right away going to India and shoot a movie about Nisargadatta. And from there, in India, somebody, one of the old translators of Nisargadatta, told us that Nisargadatta used to say, this knowledge, what I'm saying is not spiritual, what I'm saying is scientific. One day science will come and we'll understand all this, because this is how the body works, how the human body works. And so we found ourselves involved in doing this conference. The thing happened.
Okay.
Yeah, the thing happened. All of a sudden, the conference started, and we find ourselves that somehow we couldn't stop. Basically, it's insane what we are doing in many ways. Not sustainable, a lot of work, we work like crazy. But all of a sudden, every morning we wake up, and it's inevitable. The inevitability of what is for us is manifesting in the inevitability of doing this event against all odds, against all logic. But it's going on, and it's moving, and it's growing, and more people are drawn to what we do and what we say, and it's an amazing, beautiful journey, and we are honored.
Now, were you doing films before? Was that your main focus, and then it came together in this way, as this form of service and expression?
Yeah, both me and Zaya are filmmakers, and we were filmmakers. We have been making movies, both of us, independently and separately. And when we met, it became... I can only tell you that the power of two people getting together on the same objective is not one plus one, but is one multiplied by million one. I mean, it's amazing the amount of energy and thing that can happen by putting together one and one with the same objective in this case. So being with her to me has been an amazing blessing, and it still is every moment of it.
Wonderful. And Zaya, for you, how was your first awakening or awakenings, the unfolding for you?
I started also, I grew up in communist time, so religion was, my uncle went to prison because he was a priest, and I was always drawn to spirituality. There was very little books that I could read, there was very little I could tap into related to spirituality, so it was really, I would have one or two books that I would treasure for many years and read them over and over again, and they were translated in Russian, reading it from Russian. So, again, the seed was always in me, and the first book I read actually was related to shamanism, and that was the book I could find during communist time. That's what set me on a spiritual journey, which I follow for over 15 years. There was one moment that I realized that I was really, really, really stuck on this journey, of shamanic journey. And with all the practices, with all the everything I was doing and following was just not working. But it took me a long time to recognize that and really admit it. And that realization came through reading the book of Nisargadatta, I Am Death, which set me on a new journey. And that's how I met Maurizio, and we went to India, and everything sort of evolved from there. That's in brief my story.
So you did the film. Okay, you did the film or the the outpicturing of consciousness in the form of a film. And, and how? And then you, but then you founded the Convergence in Science and Spirituality events, I believe, or Science and Non-Duality, the website. I don't know which came first. How were you guided to that? How did that unfold?
Yeah, so we were doing videos related to Hindu spirituality, to India, to Nisargadatta, and at the same time we were producing media for a very highly scientific conference called Towards the Science of Consciousness,
in Tucson,
organized by the University of Arizona, Tucson. So we were exposed to these two worlds where, you know, science was not mentioned in our spiritual products, and spirituality was kind of a word you don't want to use in the conference in Tucson because that will be considered
heresy.
Yeah. So it was like, for us, was like natural that we have to bring these two worlds together, that there is a conversation that has to happen. And it is possible to have science that is still grounded in real science, with a peer-reviewed article, with a real research, and have spiritual realizations. And in the same time, is the same thing. It is possible to be on a spiritual path and use science to inform about your spiritual path and who you are, to inform yourself about how your organism, how your body is functioning, why you have the emotions, why you have the feelings,
the sense
what
of
is
self.
The mechanism behind your emotions.
Yes, what is your sense of self? What is it generated upon? Science is, all science, they're constantly saying there is, nobody has ever found any self in the human body. Nobody knows what it is. You know, and that's what the mystics said. Said all the time that the root of all suffering is the sense of self. But what is this self? Why did we make it up? So that's the what science can help us to understand. You know, so we don't have to be talking about faith. We don't have to be talking about fate. We can talk about science to prove the fact, for example, that the sense is not a thing. It's just an ongoing process. Nobody ever had or was a self. That's what Thomas Metzinger, a famous philosopher, neuroscientist, German, says. You know, nobody ever had or was a self. Self is not a thing, just an ongoing process.
Oh, I love that. It is. Oh, my God, I love that, an ongoing process. That's... What do you feel that people are more comfortable with the idea of the science aspect?
That's a very good question.
We keep asking our audience, would you like to see more science? Would you like to see more experiential modalities? And we keep getting the same question, both. This balance between the two is perfect.
Yeah,
in a way we see, as we said at the beginning, we want to see a new... There is the new paradigm is a paradigm that is inspired by the mystics, because the work on the mysticals on the inside of our mind, it's unbelievable. I mean, there's people for thousands and thousands of years that have this, through meditation, to experiential, to the understanding of how it works, they made amazing discovery, and this sacred book are a wealth of information for each and every one. But on the other hand, we like to also have this new paradigm as to be informed by science. Because on the other hand, we all use computers and iPhones, and we use science as a tool to guide us in our day-to-day life. And the beautiful thing will be to find together, to connect those two seemingly separate worlds, to create something that gets together. Like, for example, if you go into biology, you know, biology points out that this organism that we call the human body is not a single thing. It's an ecosystem of 90 trillion of bacteria, microbes, viruses, and all of them have their evolutionary agenda. So how do we call the self, me, as an individual separate self? How can I call myself a separate self if in reality I am 93 years of organism inside my skin? So what is this self? And then if you go outside of yourself, then there is everything around us, our culture, people around us, nature impact us dramatically. If there is a sunny day or a rainy day, our mood is different. Therefore, our thoughts become different. So we are connected. It's inevitable. But this comes from science. The mystic tells you that, okay, eliminate the self, but science can tell us that there are 90 trillion organisms in our body. So that's what we want to find. Help, and it doesn't mean that science and spirituality say the same thing. We are not saying that. But we are saying that we can use both of them to create a new form, a new formula that help us to understand what it means to be human in this day and age, now, in this world, and as we said, in this world that has this economic crisis, this social crisis, this ecological crisis. What does it mean to be human? What does it mean to be me, self? What is this organism all about? And try to make a different set of decisions with this organism that leads this planet to be, you know, to follow the evolutionary agenda of this planet in a more organic way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find it interesting that I love these programs on PBS, it's Closer to Truth. There's a lot of these scientific programs or focusing on quantum mechanics or physics and even beyond that, you know, this kind of origami physics. And I'm watching them, Zaya and Maurizio, and a lot of the terminology they do use, in fact, though, and correlations they make are very similar in esoteric studies and advanced metaphysical studies. I'll just kind of be watching, and my jaw will drop, and I'll say, oh, they're describing this whole idea of the multidimensional universe or the universe of probabilities or, as you're saying, the self is a continual process, that we are in this continual becoming, you know, that there's nothing static. Things are changing shape and form, but always there. So maybe it is, in what you're saying also, what I'm hearing, this coming together, this bridging, is maybe to see that in many ways it's the same thing, but maybe expressing differently or using sometimes different words or coming from a different approach, but in many ways coming to the same
conclusion,
maybe understanding,
like ancient mystics, they have always said this world is an illusion. And science is saying today, you know, we are constructing this world, this reality, to our brain. And they're describing the mechanism up to very subtle levels. How this world is constructed? So that's the beauty of, yes, it is an illusion, but it is an illusion because that's how the brain works.
Yeah.
And let's say bringing quantum physics or cosmology, they take us to a new levels of reality that we might not directly perceive it, but we can sense it. And they're giving us an explanation, giving us a new context to look at the world in a different way. The world might not be what we see, you know, what we have taught to see the world with our everyday eyes.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, beautiful. I saw something I was watching, and they were talking about the, and I can't remember, it was, cosmology was one aspect, and then I think it was origami or physics or something. But what struck me, they were talking about the probabilities, that you have these various probabilities that come into form, but that they're always there. You're living out these other realities. And I can say as a psychic channel, that's what I experience. Like what, when you're reading for somebody, what is the probability of something coming in, depending on who they're with, what their environment, what's happening in the society, the cosmos, you know, what's the predominant flow or zeitgeist of that person's personal unfolding in with the collective. And I find now in reading for people that time, and I want to get your take, is more like that now. It's more synchronistic. It's more based on events and what is more overridingly life-enhancing rather than the little personal maybe desire or will. There almost seems to be this more of the group or the collective coming into play. Have you seen that at all? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. At our last conference, the motto of the conference, the mantra of the conference is a sentence that was said by Thich Nhat Hanh, is a Buddhist famous.
Oh, I love him. I studied with him in Paris. I know of him.
He said, "The new Buddha is the community. The new Buddha, the new coming of Christ, is no longer the Christ as an individual person." Maitreya, all the tradition, they are waiting for the new Messiah. In every tradition, there is the new Messiah figure. But this new Messiah is no longer one human organism.
Yeah.
It's going to be the community.
It's
the Sangha. It's we. And that's what we try to define with our media and with our conferences. We try to redefine the angle we want to recreate is redefine the myth, the story that drives our life from the story of the I to the story of the we. We are all in it together. We are one. There is only one consciousness, and we are part of it. We and every other living organism in this universe. Let's do all our little part. As you mentioned the snowflakes before, it was a beautiful example of the snowflakes. They are all different from one another. And it's true, they are all different from one another. But if you want to ski, they have to get together into snow. The snow itself, the essence of all is snow. And if you want to use the snowflake by itself, it disappears in a second. It doesn't leave any trace. If you want to snow, it's like every drop of water. The ocean is made of a drop of water, but, I don't know. Does it make sense?
I love that. But I love the part, I love what you said about the ski. Yeah, so in a way, are you saying maybe to make that change and the new growth, the new way of being, we are all needing to come together? If we want to ski, we've got to all come together.
Yeah,
but then,
that's what we're seeing also at the conference, our audience. The reason, at the beginning we thought they're coming to hear individual speakers, but the more we go deeper into the conference, people are coming because of the community, because of sense of we, because of the sharing, because of the common experience. And yes, the talks is wonderful, it's very informative, but it's really something very special about people coming together with a common purpose, with common longing to know who we truly are.
And that said, let's not forget that we are all different snowflakes. I mean, let's make sure that we are not saying we are all the same. We are all extremely different, totally different.
Different
expression of the same, of the same essence. Every snowflake is different, but at the end, the snow is made of billions of them. And snow can only happen with billions of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big... And it really, in what you say, this coming together, to me, that's also the soul. I call this the age of the soul, is that it is about the individual coming together, not losing that, like you're saying, the individuality, we're unique, we all have our ways of knowing, but there is that really, gosh, coming from the subtle energy of the God consciousness, all that is, that nudge, that pull, that push to, that urge to come together, to unite, to connect, to share, to express, to experience. There really is, and you see it too, don't you, Zaya and Maritza? You see it everywhere, across the board, all areas, all arenas of life, right? People really want to connect.
And look at the internet.
Even the internet, or even in science, the science now is realizing, well, what did we do? We created all these disciplines that have been disconnected, while the knowledge, we cannot receive knowledge of the world if we are looking at the slices of life. We have to start seeing the bigger picture, and all the sciences are starting to come together. Neuroscience is working with psychology, with quantum physics. It has to come together.
Yeah, and look at the internet. I mean, this web, I mean, it's amazing. We really are all connected. Now, at this point, ideas come out and come back. We are creating this new brain. I was watching a reading on Scientific American, I think it was, that basically if you count every computer terminal and the number of neurons in the human brain, the number is very similar. So we are getting to the point in which the internet is like a big brain, and each one of us punching a key is a little neuron that is bringing an idea in, and bringing getting information. So we are all working on this new brain, which, you know, it's a very fascinating thought. We are more and more connected. It's inevitable. This connection is unmistakably visible.
Absolutely. You know, we've had a couple times on the program Dr. Bruce Lipton, and he also, one analogy he uses, which I love, is that we have all these millions of cells within the body. You know, we're comprised of cells, but that we are a cell within the universe.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Keep the proportion, you know. If you go into the smallest, we are, again, trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of cells and organisms, and all together inside our skin, they call themselves our body, a human body. But then go outside, go in the universe. We live in this little rock that is circling a star, which is part of 400 billion stars that makes our galaxy, which is one of billions of other galaxies, which comprise all our universe, which is probably not even the only universe out there. It's incredible. I mean, so if you go from the small to the large, we are all a connection. We are all, you know, a miracle, a total miracle, a total miracle.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love also that you say, both of you have said this, that part of what you're doing is it sounds like you're setting it up for that direct experience so that people can have the direct experience at the conferences. Share with us a little bit in the remaining few minutes here a bit about the conference, the one we've got coming up, the Convergence of Science and Spirituality. Again, there's one in the Netherlands, we know, and I believe you said May, and then San Rafael, California in October. There's also workshops, people speaking, but you said also music as well?
Oh, yeah. It's an event. It's a festival, if you wish. We use the word conference we use the word conference. But the way it works is like this. In the first 2 days, we have pre-conference workshops, giving a chance to our attendees to spend 3 to 4 hours with one specific speaker. So if you are interested in one mystic or one scientist, you have a chance to go in depth with them for 3 to 4 hours in one room, just this group of 30, 50 people with them. Then the conference starts, and the conference comprised of, in the morning, we have concurrent rooms. So basically we have 2 to 3 rooms in which, or let's say, one room we have the mystic, the other one the scientist, the other one the author or
artist.
And between the talks, there is always a little presentation, which could be a little music or something to move the body. But there is always another room we call the experiential room, in which we have always yoga or hula hooping or meditation or body drumming, aesthetic dance.
Ah, okay.
Every time
so something
lunch.
Always going on then. There's something always...
There is something going on.
If you get too heady, you can always escape to that room and
dance
like
and
that.
Sweat it out. Because that's the whole idea, you know. The Sufi tradition, they have the whirling. I mean, dance is a major element in the spiritual search, in every tradition, every tradition.
Every
and we want
tradition.
To respect the body movement. The body is there. A conference can only become so heady. How many people can you hear day in and day out talking about, you know, if the glasses are full or half empty? We have to balance it with music, with food, with the dancing.
Yeah, you got to get out of the intellectual, the mental. You got to pop, go back in, but pop out, you know, and get into that feeling nature, as you're saying.
Yeah, and in the afternoon we tend to have more plenary session. Basically, we put everybody in one room with our keynote speakers, and then so the conversation gets more unified as a community. And then we have our major speakers, which this year we have Professor Ramachandran, which wrote this amazing book, The Phantom Limb, about people who lost a limb in accident, let's say amputees, and he was able to figure it out, to study how people react to this. And his work is all based on the illusion of the self, because he was able to recreate sensation on the limb that he was missing on people. Basically, you lose your arm, and he's able to give you a sensation in the arm you don't have. And then from there, you start analyzing, well, what's the self then? If you think yourself is an arm that you don't have, and I'm giving you sensation in something you don't have, what is the self? And he goes on and on. It's an amazing,
what is
fascinating
it that you have?
Character. And then we have
Thank
mystics.
You. We're winding out of time here. I'd love to have you back. Love to have you back on as well. Yes, and to share more and dive more. We had a little bit of the technical stuff, but I want to make sure that everybody gets this information so that you can find out more information about Zaya and Maurizio's work on scienceandnonduality.com. You can also find out information there about the convergence of science and spirituality, the event conference, which this upcoming conference will be focused on the nature of the self. Zaya and Maurizio, thank you so much for being our awakened guests today.
Thank you, Michelle. It's an honor. An honor anytime. It would be a pleasure to talk with you again.
Yes. Got an open invite. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Blessing.
Bye.
Ciao. Again, that was Zaya and Maurizio Benazzo, and they're the conference founders and organizers of the Convergence of Science and Spirituality. The upcoming one is on the nature of the self. You can find out more information on scienceandnonduality.com. I'll have information also on the Awakenings Radio page on Facebook. Come say hi. Share your insight as well. And, of course, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.